Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we look ahead to the NCAA tournament, which will be starting on tomorrow night with the first four. This is your host, Cyril Quinn, of course, taking you for the next 90 minutes. We'll break down all the brackets. I'll tell you how to pick a bracket, give you the sleepers, give you the favorites, and give you the team that will eventually cut down the nets in New Orleans. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. You can hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or find me on my website at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. We begin, of course, with the number one seeds. No real surprises to say the least. Kentucky, the overall number one seed in the South. Yeah, Michigan State, number one seed in the West. Of course, they won that by virtue of their victory over Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, which was a tremendous game, by the way. One of the best college basketball games of the year. UNC, North Carolina, number one seed in the Midwest. And you have, of course, Syracuse, a number one seed in the East. The way it sets up, Kentucky, the South will play the winner of the South region, will play the winner of the West region, and the East region will play the winner of the Midwest region. A quiet year as far as, you know, controversies and who's in, who's out, for the most part, as in comparison to, say, last year or the past couple of years. There really was no gripes, to be honest with you. I mean, Drexel, okay, Seton Hall, you know, these teams, a lot of the teams that didn't get in probably didn't deserve to get in based on their strength of schedule and their lack of wins versus RPI top 50 teams. Washington might have had a little gripe. They did win the Pac-10 regular season, but the bottom line is you lose to an Oregon State in the first round of the conference tournament, and then you don't really have any quality wins over the course of the season. You had a couple, you know, near misses, but near misses don't count when you are considered to be a major, come from a major conference. And I know the Pac-12, this is not a finished year for the Pac-10, Pac-12 formerly known as Pac-10, but still, it's a BCS conference, and, you know, listen, near misses count if you're a mid-major, not if you're a major conference team, as is the case of Washington. So I thought the committee, for the most part, did a very good job. I didn't have a problem with any of the seeding, with any of the teams that got in or that didn't get in. North Carolina State certainly deserved to be in. You know, a lot of teams want to question Iona. You know, want to question Iona versus Drexel. You can argue that, you know, all you want. Bottom line is Iona had a higher RPI and it was higher strength of schedule, all those numbers that the committee looks at. So, you know, I thought a good job by the committee. They seem to do, they did well in terms of balancing the brackets. It's not one bracket to me that's you know, top, that's that much better than the rest of the brackets, though. You know, we'll talk about what I think is the toughest bracket. But for the most part, the brackets were balanced, and it should make for an exciting tournament, to say the least. I don't think that there are dominant teams and there is one dominant team. I know, you know, Kentucky is considered to be the odds-on favorite to win it all. Vegas is favorite to win it all. But certainly, you're not shocked if somebody outside of these top eight seeds wins a championship, or definitely outside somebody outside of these top four seeds wins a national championship. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we look ahead towards the NCAA tournament. When we return, we will break down the South bracket as Kentucky looks for his first championship since 1998. John Calipari, his first championship as a head coach. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition, this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, looking ahead to March Madness, which, again, starts tomorrow with the field of 68. Of course, you'll have Mississippi Valley State taking on Western Kentucky, BYU versus Iona. Tomorrow, Wednesday, you'll have Lamar versus Vermont, California versus South Florida, and California versus South Florida, excuse me. Now, remember, last year, VCU was in these first set of games, so who knows? Maybe one of these teams can make a long run, though I don't see a VCU in these group of teams, but you never know. I mean, everybody was killing VCU last year, including me, on, you know, they shouldn't have been in, and, you know, Colorado should have been in, and so on and so on. VCU makes it all the way to the national semifinal and before falling to Butler. So you never know what will come out of these first four, but we'll see come tomorrow. All those games will be on True TV, by the way. And again, you gotta love the coverage as far as the NCAA tournament goes in terms of them expanding to True TV and TBS and TNT joining the CBS, because you get to see every game. I mean, it used to be that you only saw a certain amount of games. You didn't see the West Coast game if you were on the East Coast. You see every game with this one, and you don't need to go out there and buy a package or you know, come out your pocket. So I like the new coverage. I like what they've done, you know, starting last year, and definitely should be exciting to watch, especially when the tournament really starts, to me, which will be Thursday at 12:15 on CBS with Murray State taking on Colorado State. We're going to start with the South bracket. The South bracket, to me, from top to bottom, is the toughest bracket, and I'm going to give you my picks along with some teams to watch in this particular bracket. Of course, the team to beat without question is Kentucky. They are the odds-on favorite to win a national championship. They are loaded. They lost, of course, yesterday to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had almost beaten them twice earlier in the season. Calipari was complaining about the team, you know, maybe being overconfident, so maybe that was a loss that Calipari might have saw coming. But again, I don't like how Kentucky played that tournament, though. They didn't seem like they used it to get ready for the tournament. It kind of seemed like it was, seemed like it was just an annoyance for them. So you don't like that if you're a Kentucky fan. And you also don't like the fact that you potentially will see the defending national champions in the second round. You want to look at this bracket. Of course, team to beat Kentucky, a dangerous team. VCU 28-6. They were in the Final Four last year. Of course, Shaka Smart coaching them. They're a team to certainly watch as a possible sleeper. I think it's the strongest bracket when you look at Duke as a two, Baylor as a three, Indiana as a four, UNLV as a six, Connecticut as a nine, Xavier as a 10. I mean, that is a brutal bracket for Kentucky to get through, but they should have no trouble getting through either Western Kentucky or Mississippi Valley State. I think they'll play Western Kentucky and then advance to the third round, where I think they will meet Connecticut. I think Connecticut will beat Iowa State. I understand that Connecticut has been uneven this year. Remember, Calhoun has three national championships. They have NBA caliber talent on that team. Now, they've underachieved a bit, Calhoun being in and out, 20-13. A lot of people, there are a couple of people that question Connecticut for not getting in, but they're not a conference schedule, and they had too many quality wins to not get in. But every so often you see a team like a Connecticut, like a North Carolina, fall to a 7, 8, 9 seed, and they're not a vintage team, but they're still dangerous because they still have, again, they still have NBA caliber talent. So I have Connecticut advancing to play Kentucky. Next set of games, I have VCU upsetting Wichita State, if you want to call it an upset. 5 versus 12 is basically a toss-up. Wichita State is very good. It's a very good team. VCU, of course, made it to the Final Four. They have some of those players back, not all of them. They're not as good in terms of shooting wise, but I have VCU winning that game. Then I have I have a little bit of an upset in the next game with Indiana and New Mexico State. Indiana lost one of their key players with a torn ACL, one of their guards. I think that was definitely hurt them. They got blasted. They were knocked out of the Big Ten tournament early. I like New Mexico State in the upset. So I have VCU versus New Mexico State to advance, those two teams to advance to the third round. I think UNLV will take out Colorado. I like Baylor over South Dakota State. Then I like Notre Dame over Xavier. I don't think this is a vintage Xavier team, as we've seen in the past, been very uneven this year. Extremely started off well, but had a really inconsistent towards the middle and the end of the year. And of course, I like Notre Dame to play Duke over Lehigh, though. Again, Duke is a team, very high seed that can get knocked out, certainly before the Elite Eight or even the Sweet 16. For the third round games, I will take Kentucky over UConn. This game, let me tell you right now, this will be a very close game. I see Connecticut showing a lot. I can see Connecticut showing a lot of pride. I can see those kids playing for Calhoun, not knowing that he might not be back there next year. It's one of those games that, you know, those 8-9 versus 1 seeds always can be tricky. And I can see, again, I can see Connecticut going out there, playing well, hanging with UConn, hanging with Kentucky, making them sweat a little bit. Kentucky just having a little bit, you know, Kentucky, pound for pound, has, the most talent in the country. So they'll just be a bit too much for Connecticut. But I can definitely see that being a close game. So I like Kentucky to advance to the Sweet 16, where they will play, I feel, VCU. I like VCU over New Mexico State. I know a lot of people are high on New Mexico State, but again, VCU is a very tough team. Again, they're extremely well coached. And they are one of my sleepers to make it to the Sweet 16, where they will play the number one seeded Kentucky. I like UNLV over Baylor. Baylor, again, has all kinds of NBA talent, but Baylor has been one of the most inconsistent top 10, top 15 teams all year long. They're a bit soft. Perry Jones, to me, minus the Big 12 tournament, has had a bad year. He only averaged around 13 points. He's a guy who was projected to be a Lowry pick. He still might be a Lowry pick, but he has not played as well as expected. And it just, in watching Baylor, you know, they lose to Missouri three times, lose to Kansas twice. It told me a lot about that team. I'm not in love with Baylor. Again, they have players. They have a Final Four caliber team as far as talent goes, no question about it. But I like UNLV. I watched UNLV earlier this season beat North Carolina. So UNLV, I'm very high on them. I think they are a sneaky good 16, and I'm picking them to beat Baylor in the Sweet 16, where they I think that they will face Duke. I like Duke over Notre Dame. So Sweet 16, my Final Four for the South region is Kentucky, VCU, UNLV, and Duke. I like, of course, Kentucky to take out. I like Kentucky, of course, to take out VCU. I like Kentucky to take out VCU and move on to the regional final. And I like UNLV to take out Duke and move on to the regional final. And this is where I start getting a little crazy here, so bear with me. I'm taking UNLV to beat Kentucky in advance of the Final Four. Now, you're saying you're nuts. But guess what? Listen, I don't trust Calipari. I don't trust Kentucky. I think they're too young. I think that, you know, I don't like the way they came into the tournament. I don't. You know, every year, for the past couple of years, I've heard this team is without question, the odds on favor to win it all. They're going to win it all. It was Kansas in 2010. You know, last year you had Ohio State. You had Ohio State. Again, there's something about Kentucky. The talent is without, you know, they have about six or seven pros on the team that guys will eventually play in the NBA without questioning. But I just don't trust them. You know, freshman team, a bunch of freshmen in a game where, you know, they're one game away from the Final Four. They come into this tournament with the kind of pressure on them where if they don't win a national championship, the season was a failure. Period. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no getting around it. They don't win the championship. This season was an absolute failure. So this is my first major upset of the tournament as far as, you know, in terms of getting to the Final Four. I'm taking UNLV over Kentucky in the regional final, where UNLV will represent the South region. You look at this bracket again. I think from top to bottom, it is the strongest bracket. Again, VCU is very dangerous. If you're looking for a sleeper, you can go with VCU as possible as a sleeper. You could also go with, and I consider sleepers, you know, double-digit seeds. I consider sleepers beyond, four seeds and beyond, I consider sleepers. So, of course, I have UNLV winning, you know, going to the Final Four. I mean, you could take Notre Dame. They beat Syracuse. They could be considered a possible sleeper. But, again, a very strong bracket. I'm taking UNLV to represent the South. When we return, we'll go to the Western bracket, where Tom Izzo hopes to return to yet another Final Four. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition, this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, NCAA Tournament Style. We'll be right back. Thank you. 19 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, special edition of the review, as we look ahead towards the NCAA tournament coming up starting on Tuesday and carrying out till Sunday. So you're gonna have basketball, basically 5 days. I mean, you're gonna have 5 days of basketball on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, that you can't ask for any more than that. 6 days of basketball. You have six straight days of basketball, of meaningful basketball, and I don't even count the NIT or those or the other tournament that has the non NCAA tournament teams in it. It's gonna be. I mean, it's a lot to take in. These first couple of days of the tournament. You know, when you talk about, and put Tuesday and Wednesday aside, when you talk about Thursday, Friday, I mean, the most exciting days of the tournament are the first weekend without question. I mean, you get the majority of the upsets, especially in that second round when teams have to make that quick 36-hour turnaround from Thursday to Saturday, or 48-hour turnaround from Thursday to Saturday, or from Friday to Sunday. You get the majority of the upsets. And if you're a fan, you want to see a couple upsets. You want to see a couple upsets, but you don't want to see too many upsets because it will leave, it'll kill the rest of the tournament. Like, I don't want to see, I don't want to see any of the top eight seeds lose in the first weekend. I want the top eight seeds to get to the Sweet 16. To be honest with you, if number three seed falls, or number four seed falls, then I'm fine with that. But I want, unless it's Duke, of course, minus Duke, I want the other top seven of the top eight seeds to make it and advance to the Sweet 16. I mean, you get a year where you're getting teams knocked out left and right, and you know, it looks exciting. It is exciting for that first weekend, and everybody's bright, saying, how's your bracket? And you're going, people are tuning into each game saying, oh, can you believe this team lost? Can you believe that team lost? Next thing you know, you have Coppin State and Wichita in the Sweet 16. So that's not an attractive matchup. Or you have a year, or you have George Mason and Wichita State. I'm sorry, that just in the Sweet 16, that just does not quite do it for me, in terms of a matchup. So you want to see a couple of upsets here and there, but you don't want to see too many upsets. You don't. We're gonna move to the West bracket, where of course the number one seed is the Michigan State Spartans. Tom Izzo, Michigan State playing great right now, peaking at the right time. Again, won a tremendous game against Ohio State. Ohio State and Michigan State played back-to-back Sundays of classic games. Well, Ohio State beat Michigan State at Michigan State last weekend, but Michigan State certainly returned the favor, winning their first Big Ten championship. And amazingly, their first Big Ten championship since 2000. Ironically, that was the last year they won a national championship. So, coincidence, maybe. We'll see. Michigan State, to me, the team to beat, despite the fact that a lot of people love Missouri, Michigan State, to me, is still the team to beat in this this particular bracket. I really think this bracket sets up well for Michigan State. All the heavy hitters, the teams that could give them some problems are, to me, located in the bottom half of the bracket. When you talk about Missouri, Marquette, Florida, teams of that nature, while, Michigan State's toughest challenge probably won't be until the Sweet 16 at best. Looking at this bracket, to me, a sleeper in this bracket is Long Beach State. Long Beach State played a brutal non-conference schedule. I'm talking Kansas, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Louisville. They did not embarrass themselves by any stretch of imagination in those games. So they are a team to certainly keep your eye on, a team that could be picked off early. As far as I'm concerned, is prime for a possible upset of one of the top four seeds. I would say Louisville. I mean, I know Louisville played well in the Big East tournament, won the Big East tournament, but I'm not that high on the Big East this year. I'm not that high on the Big East. So keep your eye on Louisville keep your eye on Louisville possibly to get picked off early if you want to, you know, you want to take a risk and at a top, you know, at a top four seed in this bracket, getting picked off, losing losing early before the Sweet 16. Of course, Michigan State will take out LIU Brooklyn. Memphis, I have Memphis over St. Louis, though that basically, the 8-9s are basically always a toss-up. A lot of people think Memphis was underseeded. We'll see. St. Louis had a very good year, 25-7. I like Long Beach State over New Mexico. Again, another 12 over a 5. Not an upset whatsoever, not a major upset at all. I'll take Louisville over Davidson. Take Murray State over Colorado State. Of course, I take Marquette over the BYU Iona winner. I have BYU. Regardless, I'll take Marquette over either one of those teams. Here's where I start a couple of upsets. I like Virginia over Florida and Missouri over Norfolk State. Now, Florida preseason was, I believe, a top 10 team. And for the most of the year have been top 12, top 15. Florida's problem is they count way too much on a 3-point shot. And this is despite the fact that they have a guy, one of the better big men in the country, definitely in the SEC, and Patrick Young. They don't use him enough. They have too many guys that want to shoot 3-pointers, get themselves in trouble. I don't like Florida. Again, I was not high on the SEC at all as a conference. I don't like Florida. I think Virginia is a very good defensive team. I watched Virginia. I think the ACC was underrated this year, to be honest with you. I think the ACC was overlooked. I think they're legitimately, you know, 6 or 7 quality teams out of the ACC that came out of the ACC this year. I thought Miami was a very good team. So, that didn't make the tournament, but I like Virginia this year. I expect them to upset Florida. Moving on to the third round, I have Michigan State taking out Memphis, advancing to the Sweet 16. I'll take this is my first major upset in this bracket, Long Beach State over Louisville. I told you I'm high on Long Beach State. They're one of those dangerous mid-majors who has no fear of anybody, a lot of experience. I like them over Louisville. I am very much down on the Big East this particular year. I'll take Murray State over Colorado State. I'll take Marquette over Murray State. Marquette has 2 NBA caliber players on their team. And I'll take Missouri over Virginia. So for the Sweet 16, you'll have Michigan State versus Long Beach State. Marquette versus Missouri. I take Michigan State over Long Beach State, and I will take Missouri over Marquette. So, not chalk, but the 2 top seeds in this will come out of this particular bracket. We'll make it to the Elite Eight, 1 versus 2, and I will take Michigan State to get to the Final Four. I'm very high on Michigan State. I have a lot of respect for Tom Izzo. His teams tend to play well during tournament time. He does not, let me tell you, there might be a couple of years where Michigan State got knocked out in the second round or so. But when Izzo has quality top 5, top 10 teams, they go a long way. I mean, they either make it to the Elite Eight or they go to the Final Four. He does not lose with good teams. The thing that makes him a good coach is sometimes he'll take a team that wasn't perceived to be that good and make a run to the Elite Eight, as in the case was the case in 2003 when they lost to Texas. In San Antonio, when nobody expected them to make it that far, Izzo will do that. And the funny thing about Michigan State this year, they were not even ranked in the top 25. Nobody thought much of them. And here they go playing as well as any team in the country going down the stretch. I've seen a lot of Michigan State lately in the last couple of weeks and been extremely impressed with their physicality. With their guards, be able to make shots, and they can beat you in different ways. I mean, it's not Michigan State where 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They can score the ball a bit. So I'll take them to get to the Final Four over Missouri. Again, a lot of people are high on Missouri. I understand Missouri won a number of games against the top 50 in terms of RPI. I understand Missouri beat Baylor 3 times. They beat Kansas once and won a conference tournament. First team in tournament history from a power conference that won 30 games and did not get a number one seed. So you have a couple of, annoyed Missouri fans. But the bottom line is Michigan State's experience, Michigan State's toughness will be the difference in that game. The physicality, Izzo in a big game is always, I mean, Izzo in those Elite Eight games and Sweet 16 games is always tough. I like Michigan State to advance to play UNLV in the first semifinal. Again, with this bracket, this is, you know, with this bracket, I think it's tailor-made for Michigan State. They will not get a tough opponent, as far as I'm concerned, until they face, you know, until they face Missouri in the regional final. The bracket is definitely bottom half heavy as far as the, you know, with Missouri, Marquette, Florida. So I think this bracket was not, I'm not going to say easy for Michigan State. Well, basically, yeah, I think this bracket is an easy bracket for Michigan State, to be honest with you. I don't see them getting any major challenges until they reach the regional final and where they will take on the Missouri Tigers. I have a lot of respect for Missouri. I have a lot of respect, a ton of respect for Missouri. I watched them play a lot recently. Again, they beat Kansas. They beat Baylor three times. You know, beat some good, had some quality wins. Again, 11-3 against the RPI top 50. You know, whatever that means, but you know, it's still beating a lot of quality teams. But going up against an experienced Michigan State team, I'll have to give Michigan State the edge in that particular matchup. 31 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. We're halfway through the brackets so far. UNLV, Michigan State coming out the south and west. Next up, we'll go east and see if the Cuse can return to New Orleans where they won their last national championship back in 2003. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cereal Corn Review. Special edition of the Cereal Corn Review as we look ahead towards the up and coming NCAA tournament. 68 teams trying to make it to New Orleans, where you've had some classic matchups and some great games in the past, you know, in the past few times that the Final Four has been in New Orleans. Of course, who are forget Carmelo Anthony leading Syracuse as a freshman to a national championship in 2003. You know, Peter Warwick, excuse me, Hakeem Warwick blocking the 3-point attempt to seal the victory for Syracuse. And you know, you had North Carolina and the famous timeout with Chris Webber there when Dean Smith's last national championship back in 93. You had and of course, 82, whoever forget. Of course, excuse me, 87, Bobby Knight winning his last national championship with the key smart shot as Indiana took out Syracuse. And then, of course, Dean Smith, North Carolina, Georgetown. And what I still think to this day was the best, most well-played national championship game that I've ever seen. I got a chance to see the replay of that. And it was played on an extremely high level. And, I mean, you had – I mean, look at the pros you had. I mean, you had Jordan Worthy, you know, Patrick Ewing, David Wingate. I mean, so much pro talent was on that floor. Of course, North Carolina won it at the end. With at the North Carolina won it with the Michael Jordan jump shot. And James Worthy, I forgot about him. Look how I went with the jump shot. So you, I mean, we're destined, and who will forget? We're destined for another classic Final Four in New Orleans. In New Orleans seems like college basketball in New Orleans seem to have a magic together, have a magic that you know, that's going to produce a high quality, high level, and a memorable moments in the come first weekend in April. We're going to shift over to the East bracket. I don't think, and I've been going through these brackets and giving you, you know, who's team to beat and what have you. I don't think there's a team to beat in this bracket, to be honest with you. I don't like the way Syracuse ended the season. Even Boeheim said that they did not play well in their last 10 games. It's not a big deal to me losing the conference tournament. We've seen a few teams lose early in the conference tournament who were championship caliber teams, and they rebounded nicely. Syracuse is very deep, as we all know. The problem with Syracuse, to me, is they might be too deep, and they might play too many players. Again, they did not play well going down the stretch. I'm not as high. The Big East this year was down. It was clearly down, and I don't have the same respect that I had for the Big East in past years. This year that I had for the past two or three years. So I don't think there's no team to beat. Syracuse certainly is more than capable of getting to the Final Four. You look at a sleeper, somebody that you might think of as a double digit seed, or again, anything below a four seed to me is considered to be a sleeper. But I like Texas as a sleeper. They are 11 seed. Is this one of Rick Barnes' vintage NBA latent talented teams, NBA latent type teams? No. But what they have lost a ton of close games coming out of the conference, which I think was the second best conference in the country in the Big 12 behind the behind the Big Ten. Had a ton of close losses. They're the type of team, you know, they're the type of team that's not going to be afraid of anybody. So you can certainly keep your eyes on them as a possible sleeper. Overrated team, Wisconsin, they definitely could get picked off early because the bottom line is, and I know the Big Ten was strong this year, but the thing about Wisconsin is their style of play keeps them in every game, but also keeps their opponents in every game. They're not going to run away from anybody with their particular style of play. So, you know, they have off shooting night. They can get themselves in a lot of trouble. So, look for Wisconsin as a possible early round exit. Of course, I like Syracuse over UNC Asheville. I'll take Kansas State over Southern Miss, Vanderbilt over Harvard, Wisconsin over Montana. I like Texas to upset Cincinnati. I like Florida State over St. Bonaventure. I'll take West Virginia over Gonzaga. This is not a vintage Gonzaga team, as evident by their number seven seed. They, you know, lost their conference championship to St. Mary's. West Virginia has a lot of experience. Kevin Jones, one of the best players in the Big East, a lot of talent there. And, of course, Ohio State will take out Loyola Marymount. Third round, I'll take Syracuse over Kansas State, Vanderbilt to beat Wisconsin. I'll take Florida State over Texas and Ohio State over West Virginia. So for the Sweet 16, we'll have Syracuse, Vanderbilt, Florida State, and Ohio State. This is where, again, I'm not going to see you off the reservation, but I'm, you know, be a little different here. I'm taking Vanderbilt over Syracuse. Syracuse, okay, in the last 7 years have won six tournament games. They have not advanced past the second round, I believe, since they won a national championship in 2003. They have not been a good tournament team as of late at all. Well, matter of fact, let me take that back. They did make it to the Sweet 16 in 2010 when they got upset. So I have to That's, matter of fact, that's the only time they've won more than one game in a tournament since they won a championship back in 2003. So I'll get that correct. Vanderbilt, again, beat Kentucky, played Kentucky better than anyone in the country, all, you know, all year long. And frankly, Vanderbilt, you know, was rated in the top 10. I believe Brandon Vanderbilt was preseason number 7 in the country. So, you know, Vanderbilt kind of got lost under the radar when they had a couple early losses. People kind of forgot about them. Very talented team. They can shoot the ball, which you know, helps them match up against Syracuse. I like them over Syracuse to get to the regional final, where I think they will face Florida State. I think I can see Florida. I like Florida State against Ohio State. Ohio State, again, gets to these games, Sweet 16, Elite 8, and they tend to come up small once they get past the first weekend. I am extremely high on Florida State. Now, maybe because I'm so shell-shocked that they, you know, knocked around North Carolina 2 times this year. But when you beat Duke and North Carolina 4 times in the same season, twice apiece in the same season, that's saying something. Again, I think the ACC is better than people give it credit for. Again, there's nothing not to like about Florida State. Their experience, they have size, they defend, they're athletic, they are streaky from the 3-point range, and now they're starting to score more. So it's not just, you know, they're not playing in the 50s and 60s. They're actually putting up some points. A very, you know, right now playing just lights out basketball, going into the tournament definitely on a high, coming off that tremendous win versus North Carolina. And I expect Florida State to carry that momentum to a Final Four. And I expect them to Final Four, I expect them to beat Vanderbilt. Again, Florida State to me is one of the hottest teams in the country right now, without question. And I think that they will be playing in New Orleans come March 31st. So I'll take Florida State in this bracket. I am not high on Syracuse at all. In terms of the way they were playing going in, I don't trust Ohio State. I don't trust Ohio State, to be honest with you. I think there are some ways you can defend Sullinger. This is not a, you know, this Ohio State team is not as good as they've been in the past couple of years. Certainly expected more out of them this year. And again, Wisconsin can be picked out early. Vanderbilt got them going pretty far to the Sweet 16. And again, but at the end of the day, I will take the Seminoles to the Final Four. 42 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, we are 3/4 the way through the brackets so far. Have UNLV versus Michigan State. Who will Florida State play? We'll find out in a couple minutes on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn. The Cyril Quinn Review. I'll be right back. 45 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this special edition of the Serial Corner Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we discuss the upcoming NCAA tournament. Still to come, of course, we're going to go through the final bracket, fourth and final bracket in the Midwest. I will also give you a guide in terms of making your picks on what to do, what not to do. We'll break down my bracket, and I'll give you, you know, why I went with the picks I went with, and much, much more. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Follow me at William Jero at twitter.com/WilliamJero. Hit me up at facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. Poll question of the night. Who will end up in the Final Four? Who are your four? Certainly, this is a year where, again, I don't see any dominant teams. The gap between the top, you know, eight seeds and everybody else is not that big, to say the least. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to move on to the Midwest region, where the team to beat is North Carolina. Their biggest challenger will be Kansas. If that matchup comes about, that'll be their biggest challenger. You're looking for a sleeper in this region. How about the team that beat North Carolina, just beat in the ACC semifinals in North Carolina State? North Carolina State has at least four players average double figures. CJ Leslie, they have a couple pros on that team. Mark Goffrey has done a tremendous job. He could have beat North Carolina easily on Saturday. Got a couple bad whistles. So that is a team, and they are the number 11 seed. That is a team to certainly watch in this particular bracket. You want to see a high seed that could possibly go out early? Georgetown. Georgetown, again, has a lot of talent, but they have made a habit of going out early in the past couple of NCAA tournaments. Not a lot of experience in terms of winning tournament games. Are they capable of turning it around? Certainly. But their team, and again, this is me being anti-Big East in terms of not being as high on Georgetown as some people may be. But again, I don't think the conference was that good. It was that good this year, to be honest with you. I think it was definitely a down year. Well, not a down year. I think I thought it was an okay year for the Big East Conference. We'll begin, of course, with North Carolina taking out either Lamar or Vermont. I just said Lamar. You know, Pat Knight. Pat Knight, of course, coaches them. Coaches Lamar. It won't matter. North Carolina will take out either one of those teams. I like Creighton against Alabama. Again, that's a pick'em game. Creighton, the great offense. Alabama, the great defense. Remember, Alabama, very interesting team. Alabama is a sleeper, I think. Well, that's another sleeper. Remember, Alabama was a top 15 team in preseason. You know, they have guys on deck that will one day play in the NBA on that team. Underachieved badly. Keep your eye on them. They could pose some problems, possibly. Maybe they could pose North Carolina some problems if they're able to get past Creighton. But I think Creighton will take them out. My beloved alma mater, Temple, I believe, will take out California or South Florida, though a lot of people like Cal to possibly make a run to Sweet 16. I don't see it. I like Temple against Michigan. Michigan will take out Ohio. Michigan, very good team, good guards, come out of a tough Big Ten conference where they shared the regular season championship with Michigan State and Ohio State. First time they shared a Big Ten championship since 1986, which is remarkable, but yeah, had been that long. Upset alert, I'll take North Carolina State over San Diego State. Again, I'm very high on North Carolina State. The ACC, again, to me, was better this year than people want to give it credit for. And North Carolina State had a good year. I'll take them over San Diego State. I'll take Georgetown over Belmont. That will be a tough game, though. The Belmont game will be an extremely tough game for Georgetown. For Georgetown, Belmont's not afraid of anyone whatsoever. So, but I think Georgetown will have enough to get by. I'll take Purdue over St. Mary's. Purdue's physicality might bother St. Mary's a bit. Might bother St. Mary's a bit. And of course, Kansas over Detroit. Once we get to the third round, UNC versus Creighton, this game, I'm telling you right now, if these two teams play, North Carolina will put about 110 on Creighton. Now, Creighton might score 98 or 95, but this will be one of the most highest scoring games of the tournament. But I expect, nobody's going to beat North Carolina in a shootout, and not Creighton, certainly not Creighton. Creighton just does not have that kind of personnel. So I'll take North Carolina in an entertaining second-round game, to say the least. TU versus Michigan, this is where I have to take my head over my heart. I'll take Michigan to beat Temple. Would not be surprised, certainly, if Temple, unranked, went into this with nobody expecting much and made a run to the Sweet 16. That's what Temple does when they're under the radar. And our problem is they were ranked for a lot for the last part of the season. So I don't know. We're not good as Temple Owls. We're not good at handling prosperity. Okay, we need people to tell us we stink. We need to be the underdog. So very interesting to see Temple as a 5 seed, but I think Michigan State takes them out to move on to Sweet 16. I like NC State over Georgetown. Again, I can. This is like the eye test. I mean, this is me watching NC State for the past few weeks, especially in the ACC, especially in the ACC tournament, watching them against North Carolina. Again, I was very impressed with how they play, how much balance they have. They have a they're a good team. They are a very good team. And truthfully, I like to see. I know they were one of the might even one of the last to get in, but they're better than an 11 seed. They really are. So I had them taking out Georgetown for the right to get to the Sweet 16, and I have Kansas taking out Purdue. How about that matchup? Remember 1994, Glenn Robinson, Greg Ostertag, Kansas, when Purdue took Kansas out in the Sweet 16 before they lost to Duke in the regional final back in the day. So, yeah, Kansas, Purdue. Yeah, Kansas, NC State, North Carolina versus Michigan in a rematch of the 93 championship. I'll take North Carolina again over Michigan, which will be not an easy game for North Carolina, but you have to like certainly have to like Tar Heels in that game, in that particular game. I'll take Kansas over North Carolina State, and then you have Roy Williams taking on his not his alma mater, but his former team, the Jayhawks, and hopefully for Roy's sake, he can fare better than he did last time North Carolina met the Jayhawks in the tournament when they were just blasted off the court at the 2008 Final Four by 18 points. North Carolina is better than Kansas. There's no two ways about it. Kansas, though, has pro talent. Kansas probably will have the best player on the floor, though, in Thomas Robinson. So that certainly doesn't hurt Tyshawn Taylor. The Tyshawn Taylor, Kendall Marshall will be a great matchup at the point guard. Certainly, you trust Marshall as far as him being more stable and consistent than Tyshawn Taylor. Though Taylor can on a given night can give you 25 to 20, to 20 to 25, but he's extremely inconsistent. I like North Carolina in the game. I think North Carolina has, its sides up front. I think they'll be able to neutralize Thomas Robinson with that size. Remember John Henson? I mean, you got to go through Henson, Henson at 6'10", Barnes at 6'8", and then Zeller at 7 foot. North Carolina will block. Certainly, I think North Carolina will block a lot of shots in there. But I think that'll be a classic game. I think that that will be certainly a classic game and one of the best regional final games of this tournament. But I give North Carolina a slight edge, and I would like North Carolina to advance to the Final Four to play for the third time the Florida State Seminoles. So my Final Four is set. I have UNLV, number 6 seed versus the number 1, Michigan State, and I have North Carolina as a number 1 versus a number 3, Florida State. When we return, I will break down my bracket, then tell you how to pick a bracket, and then I will conclude with the Final Four and my national championship. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour in this special edition of the Sudoku Review, as I take you to 9:30, as we discuss the NCAA tournament coming up starting on Tuesday with the first four going. That goes through Wednesday. That goes through Wednesday. All those games will be on True TV, and then the official, as far as I'm concerned, the official start of the tournament will be come Thursday on CBS. First game, Murray State versus Colorado State. It'll be very interesting to watch some of these mid-major teams like Murray State, like a San Diego State, Long Beach State, Wichita State, you know, VCU. I think this is a strong year for the mid-major teams. I really do. I think there are some quality mid-major teams out there. Creighton is a very good team. You have teams like Belmont. So though the bubble teams were not that strong this year, the mid majors that got in are very good. By evident of how the committee, you know, how many non-power teams the committee took, you know, when you break down the 37 at-large bids. You had 26 from the power conferences and 11 from the mid majors. That speaks a lot. That says a lot. I mean, that definitely was not a year where somebody could complain, namely Dick Vitale, about the little guy not getting a fair shake. The committee rewarded the mid major teams, some of these mid major teams, for going out there and playing. Playing tough competition, whether they won or lost. So I think the committee was definitely consistent about that in terms of non-strength of schedule and non-conference schedule. I mean, November, December are important months. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You can't win a championship, or you can't make it to the NCAA tournament in November, December, but you sure can play yourself out of the tournament if you're going to be one of these bubble teams in those 2 months, based on the people who you play, people who you play, or people who you don't play, for that matter. When you look at how to pick a bracket, first, I mean, number one, for guys like me, it is, I mean, it's almost impossible because I'm too, you know, I analyze stuff. I want to break down this, I want to break down that. It's, you know, I get to looking at team schedules and who they played and the RPIs. And I really didn't do that this year. This year, in terms of picking this bracket, I try to be as open-minded as possible, try to go by things, games that I watch. I try to get, you know, go by gut feeling. So this is probably as less, you know, this bracket I picked right here is probably more off the cuff than any bracket that I've picked in a long time in terms of doing the show or in terms of in general. I try to really, you know, not get too crazy, but I try to just not look at a lot, read a lot of stuff on the teams or look at a lot of numbers, things of that nature. Try to really go with a gut. There was no way that I was going with more than two number one seeds. It was just no way. I was tempted to only go with one number one seed, to be honest with you. But I liked North Carolina and I liked Michigan State a lot. You know, when you're picking these games, number one, if you're going to pick a team, and I'll give you a perfect example. I'll go to the South bracket. You have UConn, you have Connecticut and Kentucky. Then I pick a couple upsets with VCU and New Mexico State. I'm going to pick, you know, Kentucky to beat VCU anyway. So, you know, I might as well, or to beat New Mexico State or VCU. So I might as well go out, Martin. You might as well go out on the limb, you know, and picking one of those teams, because you're gonna have Kentucky beat them either one of those teams in the Sweet 16, regardless. I would have Kentucky beat Indiana or Wichita State in the Sweet 16. 5 versus 12 are basically as close as like 5 versus 12 are basically like 8 versus 9. To be honest with you, there's always at least one or two upsets in the 5 versus 12 matchup. Always. So, if you don't have a 5 versus 12 upset, then chances are you're not gonna do well in your bracket. Because the 12 beats a 5 every single year. I will also say, look at the conferences. And to me, you know, now I know last year everybody was knocking the Big East because, you know, first of all, Connecticut won the national championship, but a lot of people were knocking the Big East because they lost a lot of their teams got knocked out early. When you're looking at these conferences, don't look at the conference as a whole as much as looking at how the individual teams are playing going in. I rarely see teams who are not playing well going into the NCAA tournament come out of nowhere and do major damage. If a team is struggling going in, there's a pretty good chance that they're gonna have a struggle to advance far in the NCAA tournament. And I don't care what conference they're from. Okay, they were from the number one conference in the country. And that's what happened with the Big East last year. Those teams that got knocked out early were not playing good basketball going in. So it shouldn't have been as big a shock that they got knocked out when they got knocked out. But again, it is an inexact science to try to pick this bracket. To me, this year is absolutely I do think this is going to be a year where that team that's lower than a two seed I don't see any team. I don't see a team being lower than a 2 seed, than a 3 seed winning a national championship. I don't see a team being lower than a 3 seed winning and that winning a championship. To be honest with you, but you are going to have a number of upsets. You're going to have a number of upsets as far as some, you know, getting 5 versus 12. Some of these 4 seeds, some of these 3 seeds. And I'm looking at my bracket, and I'll go through my bracket. And I certainly didn't go chalk, but you have to take chances when you're picking a bracket. You got to go out there, go out on a limb and pick some upsets. You do. I mean, you just have to go out on a limb. And, you know, I have VCU over New Mexico. I have New Mexico State beating, you know, Indiana. I mean, you just got to, in one bracket, there's always one bracket that just gets blown up. Blow up one bracket. Just, you know, do the most irrational pick, make the most irrational, illogical pick that you can think of, and go from there. The one bracket that I probably blew up the most, I would say probably, when I'm looking at it, probably the South bracket. Because I don't have Duke or Kentucky coming out. Have, you know, VCU as a 12 advancing to the Sweet 16, UNLV as a 6 advancing to the Sweet 16, and UNLV advancing to the Final Four. Have New Mexico State. I have in the third round. I have, you know, one, two. I have two double digit seeds advancing to the third round. And New Mexico State and VCU. So blow out one bracket. I mean, this is not a tournament for chalk. I guarantee you that. It's not. There will be a number of upsets in this tournament, particular tournament. When I return, I will give you my Final Four picks and tell you why and who. Who and why will cut down the nets in New Orleans. This is the Serial Coin Review. I'll be right back. Minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition, the special edition of the Serial Coin Review, as we look ahead towards the NCAA tournament coming up tomorrow with the first four. We are at the Final Four now. Well, not Final Four now, but we are at the point in my bracket where we have our Final Four picked out. UNLV, Michigan State, Florida State versus North Carolina. If that comes to pass, Florida State, North Carolina will be the second game without question. That will be the second of the two games. I like Michigan State over UNLV. Experience, Izzo, UNLV will just be happy to be there, and I'll take the Spartans in that game to advance to their first national championship since 2009. With a victory over UNLV. Second game is a difficult pick because this is frankly the one team as a North Carolina fan that I probably don't want to see. I mean, Florida State killed North Carolina the first time they met when North Carolina was healthy. It was in Florida State, beat them by 33. Roy Williams' worst loss as the head coach of the Tar Heels during his time there. And then in the ACC tournament, no John Henson, but Florida State withstood a rally by North Carolina to win that game and beat North Carolina twice. And there's just a comfort level that Florida State has against North Carolina for some reason. For some whatever reason, to play well against them. But I think this game will be different. I like North Carolina. I like North Carolina in this game. It'd be one thing if Florida, I thought Florida State was a better team. I don't think they're the better team. I do think North Carolina has the better personnel. Don't see Florida State beat North Carolina three times in a season. They'll have John Henson back healthy. And I expect Florida State to get maybe a good little shell shot under the lights of New Orleans. North Carolina, having played in Elite Eight last year, will have some of that experience. So I will take the Tar Heels in a very close game, in a classic Final Four game over Florida State. And that leaves us with Michigan State and North Carolina. Now, remember how the season started? On a naval battleship with North Carolina as preseason number one, taking on a Michigan State team that we just knew on name and reputation only, that you did not have high expectations for. It was supposed to be a rebuilding year. You know, Izzo basically said, hey, we're just going to try to get better game in, game out, and so on. Now look at Michigan State, and to me, they're going to find themselves in a national championship. So many times, the national championship game is a rematch over a regular season game. So I think this will be no different. North Carolina won that game, but Michigan State fought and was competitive. And remember, the Michigan State team that you will see that night, that you will see on April 2nd, will be nothing like the Michigan State team that you saw November 11th when they played North Carolina in that first game. That game was an ugly game to begin with. Neither one of those teams, neither Michigan State or North Carolina, played particularly well. Well, so I expect the Spartans and the Tar Heels in the championship, and I like Michigan State. I don't think, unlike 2009, Michigan State was a very good team. North Carolina was a great team. North Carolina was focused. They had gotten embarrassed in the 2008 Final Four. So, and again, that was a truly great North Carolina team. This is not a great North Carolina team, though it's a talented North Carolina team. They have lapses of concentration. They have at times shown themselves to be susceptible against defending a three-point shot. They have turned it on and off at times. And I just feel, though, that it's Izzo's time to get that second national championship. It's almost like he's too great of a coach to have only one championship. And Izzo, listen, Izzo, pound for pound, is the best coach in college basketball. I mean, he is that good. You know, he gets very good players, but he does not get North Carolina caliber players. He doesn't get Kentucky caliber players, or, you know, I want to think, maybe Duke, Connecticut. Doesn't get, you know, a million pros. He gets guys that fit what he does, what the Michigan State way, physicality, rebounding, toughness. He gets those kind of players, and he molds them into what he wants them to be, and the kind of style that they're going to play in. And they just, you know, he goes at it, yells at them, tears them down, builds them back up. But I think it is his time to win a second national championship. And I know Kentucky fans say, hey, it's Calipari's time, maybe. But when you look at, you know, again, when you look at Michigan State, they have experience. They have toughness. They have the great coach. They're deep. They have all the necessary ingredients that it takes to win a national championship. They really do. So I will say I will take Michigan State to beat North Carolina. Certainly, that game could go either way. North Carolina has all the ingredients as well. But this is not—I mean, this is not an anti-North Carolina pick. It's more about a pro-Michigan State pick than it is a anti-North Carolina pick. But you know, I mean, I've always been high on Michigan State. I really have. They—you know—they play. You know, Izzo does not lose with good teams. They, you know, again, they are just—they are a tournament tough team. Izzo is a great tournament coach, and I believe that they will cut down the nets in New Orleans come April the 4th. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will finish where we started with an overview of the NCAA tournament. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Looking ahead, looking forward, certainly, to the up-and-coming NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. I think this tournament, because there's no dominant teams, because I think the quality of play will be better, because the bubble teams this year were weak. So the teams who got into the tournament, for the most part, again, were deserving. I think you have some excellent mid-major teams, as I mentioned over the course of this program. I think you have, again, very interesting to see how Kentucky deals with this pressure. Kentucky, you know, 2 years ago, were the favorites to win a national championship in 2010, or amongst the favorites, along with Kansas. Couldn't get it done. Last year, they kind of surprised people with the run that they made getting to the Final Four. This year, they were expected, along with North Carolina to a lesser extent, to get to the Final Four, and to win and win a national championship? And how does, you know, how does Calipari, how does that team with all those young players, the two best players are freshmen, two players who will be, who are projected to be the top two picks in the draft this year, in Anthony Davis and Kid Gilchrist, how do they deal with that pressure? Remember, all you have to, it only takes, and that's just the beauty of this tournament, one bad night, one bad half can do you in. And, you know, again, Kentucky, I see their talent. I know how great they are defensively. Do they have the kind of mental, intestinal fortitude that, you know, it takes for a, to win six games? You know, I'm looking at this group of teams. The teams I think that can win a national championship, I'll say, you know, obviously Michigan State, I believe, can win. I think Kentucky can win. I don't think they will. North Carolina can win. You know, Florida State, I feel, can win. I don't think Florida State can win. I don't think they can. I don't think that consistently for six games. I don't think they can win a national championship. So I'll say Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina. I don't think Syracuse is consistent enough to win a championship, to be honest with you. That's it. I mean, I, you know, Ohio State, you know, things break right. Ohio State, you know, what happens if Missouri has a bad offensive day? I question if they can win a championship without, you know, being great offensively. But again, despite the fact that there are not that many teams that I feel that can win a national championship, there are a number of teams that I feel that can get to the Final Four. A number of them. Like, that's the unique thing about this particular tournament. The gap between the teams that can actually win a national championship versus the gap that the other teams that can get to the Final Four. Again, it is an inexact science in terms of picking these teams. The only thing that I, you know, kind of lean towards that I'm confident in is that teams who are not playing well going into the tournament, and I mean not playing well, I mean their last, you know, 5 to 10 games, unless there's been some type of major injury, if they're not playing well, I don't care who they are, there's a pretty good chance that they are not going to go far in this tournament. Like, I actually believe in momentum from conference tournament to from regular season, you know, getting you to a certain point in this tournament. I really believe in that. And you look at some of the highest teams going into the tournament, certainly Michigan State is up there. Florida State is up there. Vanderbilt is up there. Again, should be an exciting tournament. You'll have enough coverage to last a lifetime. I mean, you know, with True TV, CBS, TNT, TBS. And again, those first, you know, 3 days of the tournament, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, are just a wild. They're absolutely wild. You know, Saturday, you know, you have basketball basically from noon to midnight. But if you're a fan, if you're not rooting for a particular team, you don't want to see, I'll say this again, don't want to see too many upsets in these first couple rounds. You don't want to see that. Because that will ruin the second weekend of the tournament. It'll kill it. You know, I was going to pick a rematch going into this bracket. I was going to pick North Carolina, Michigan State, or North Carolina, Kentucky. I frankly would love to see a North Carolina Kentucky rematch. I thought that was one of the games of the year. Came down, you know, 1-point game at Kentucky. Anthony Davis blocks John Henson's shot to clinch it, and I thought that was just a tremendous game. Would love to see those two teams, those historic programs with 12 championships between them, get to a national championship and win it. Wouldn't have a problem with that matchup at all. But I have UNLV, Michigan State, Florida State, and North Carolina coming out. I feel pretty confident with those picks. I really do. I don't think. And well, the only I had to have one reach. I mean, UNLV obviously is a major reach coming out of a same bracket as Kentucky, but I don't trust Kentucky. I just don't. You can call it a reach, you can call it whatever, but I just don't trust Kentucky. And I think UNLV is the one mid-major that has been extremely impressive over the course of this year and that will find their way. Find their way into the Final Four. I don't think you call you. I mean, UNLV's not a mid-major, but UNLV is a team that I mean that you know it's not known for. It's not what it used to be. And when Tarkanian was there, they've done. I mean, again, they've done an excellent job getting back in the last couple of years to being a team that can get to a Sweet 16 occasionally. But you know, I've been extremely impressed with the Running Rebels. In the times that I've seen them, you can take out North Carolina. I don't care where the game is at. That shows me that you're doing something. Again, we will have what now? We might do a show, and I'm thinking about it on Thursday, possibly. You could do a show on Thursday or on Wednesday. You're gonna have a lot going on with the tournament. The NBA trade deadline. If anything major happens in the NBA trade deadline, or we'll do a show. I mean, we'll push that to a Saturday morning wake up call, and you know, again, stay attuned to that in terms of stay tuned for that on Saturday and be on the lookout for the show times, the program times for the Saturday morning wake up call. Come the 17th. So. It was something that we'll talk. We'll have a busy show. It'd be no less than an hour and a half. It might even be 2 hours. So we'll have a busy show with that. Again, enjoy your Monday evening. Enjoy the tournament. Good luck with your brackets. I will see you later on this week. So long. Have a great evening.